Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. That's a free app. You can take us on the go wherever you are. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. We'll get into Commanders Browns coming up at 7:20, but joining us right now to talk about the new Joker film is our entertainment reporter from Fox 5, Kevin McCarthy. Hey, Kevin.
My Papa Rick Ricks.
Kevin.
Oh, it's so good to hear your voices this morning.
What's
Rick
up,
Rick.
Kevin?
I miss my Papa so much.
He'd be missing you, too. Doing? Can you tell by his three-second-long sigh?
Just be normal. Just be normal. Eric, it's like what I tell Ron. Just be normal.
Well, that's impossible. You know that.
What people don't realize is that Eric loves me so much, and I just wish.
I like you, Kevin. I do like you.
No, you love me. Don't give me that like. Say, you love me.
I don't know. I like
deep
you,
down.
Kevin.
I think he does. I don't think he'd say it on the air. He might have a little bit of love for you.
Eric loves me more than Jaden Daniels. I know
that's
that
not
sure.
true.
That's definitely not true. Hey, at least you know who Jaden Daniels is this
that's right.
week. You know?
Are you guys all psyched for this weekend? You have to be.
I'm psyched for every weekend. I don't care if Daniels plays or not.
I will say this. At the golf course yesterday, again, a bunch of people were coming up to me. So it's been like 3 days in a row now. I don't know where I was this weekend. Remember I mentioned people were coming up to me?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was at the MGM.
Yeah.
Like everyone's coming up and they're talking about the skins and they're talking about
And by the way,
Jayden.
What did I tell you? I predicted that. I said, so many people are going to talk to you at the poker table about the Commanders.
No, yep. They really do. That's like the one thing everyone.
And I'm guessing nobody
like,
was talking
talk
about
it.
The stadium and nobody was
talking about the name.
No,
of course not. Right.
Winning cures everything.
All right. Is there a big movie this weekend?
Yeah, it's Joker.
Hold on real quick.
Yeah.
JP talked to me about this. He said, have you heard about this new Clint Eastwood movie that's coming out in November, Juror Number 2? Have you seen the trailers for this?
It looks really good.
It looks awesome. It looks like a must-see.
And Nicholas Hoult is the star of it. I mean, I think, is Eastwood, 92 now?
94, I think.
Mid-90s.
He's 94.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I don't know if you guys ever heard the story about Quentin Tarantino where he talks about like how filmmakers, in his perspective, should stop after making 10 films or whatever.
You talked about it last week regarding Megalopolis.
Yeah, and so, but Eastwood's one of those good examples, like where he keeps going. I mean, I thought Sully was really good.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys saw The Mule. I didn't love The Mule.
I kind of liked The
Mule. Slow,
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't the best movie I've ever seen.
It's a while back. What's the one decent? Where he's the neighbor, the crotchety old neighbor?
Gran Torino.
That's
right?
A good one.
That's a borderline great
yes,
movie.
Yes, Gran Torino's excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, Gran Torino, and then also Unforgiven. I mean, Unforgiven, Bridges of Madison County. I mean,
The Unforgiven's a classic. Everyone's seen that.
Didn't that win Best Picture?
I hope so.
You're sleeping on his best movie, by the way.
His best movie?
I think it's The Unforgiven.
No, the best movie he directed, you're sleeping on
Sniper.
It. No. American Sniper is good, though, but you guys are sleeping on it. Sean Penn.
Bad Boys.
Come on. Mystic River.
Oh, Mystic River is really good.
He directed that?
That's a really good movie, too. Tim Robbins is bitter at the end. He's so
Mystic
salty.
Mystic River is so good. That movie is... That is Sean Penn, right? Do I have that right?
Yeah, yes. You're right.
Oh. Well, I was thinking, Eric, on Sunday at 1 o'clock, we can go see an IMAX showing of Joker 2.
Perfect. I'll meet you there.
Yeah, just give him the address. He'll be
no
there.
No problem.
Are you available?
Totally available.
I was thinking we could grab some lunch and some tattoos and some popcorn.
I'll be there waiting for you.
At 1 o'clock, okay?
Perfect.
I'm all psyched to be friends on Sunday at 1. Let's do it.
So, Kevin, give us the skinny on Joker 2. Somebody just tweeted us at Junks Radio that it's a really unique film.
Yeah, it's also not a great film, unfortunately.
Right out of the gate. Brings a hammer.
The first movie was obvious. I loved the first movie. I mean, it made $1 billion. Joaquin Phoenix won Best Actor. It was unique. It was interesting. It was rated R. And a lot of what the first movie did, which I thought was interesting, was you didn't know what was real, what wasn't real. For people who haven't seen the first Joker, obviously, like the, you know, this is the character is, you know, being literally and mentally beaten down by society, and you know, the character snaps, you know, Arthur Fleck essentially becoming Joker. And, you know, for people who, you know, not to spoil anything, but there's a really incredible, intense scene at the end when he's on a talk show with Robert De Niro's character, and something crazy happens, and the movie just kind of, you know, turns into chaos. And a lot of the questions of the first movie were, you know, what's are we seeing this, or is this really in his mind? And, you know, it's kind of a, it was an interesting perspective. This one is one, it's a musical, which is a very interesting way to take the Joker film. And but Lady Gaga joins as Harley Quinn. And so that becomes a factor. Now, the way they use the musical in the beginning of the film, which is how the kind of they set the musical up, is the musical aspect is more psychological, meaning it's happening in their, in his mind. At least that's the way I perceived it. The problem is, and I could be wrong, there's like, I want to say there's like 10 or 12 musical numbers. And
that sounds like a lot. That sounds like too much.
It's too much.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong on the exact number, but I remember thinking like midway through the film, are they going to keep doing this? But like, to me, the interesting thing about the musical numbers were they were interesting psychological breaks for the characters. So why overuse it? Just, you know, use them sparingly and more effectively rather than, you know, giving us so many. The problem is when you hire someone like Lady Gaga, I mean, and she's an incredible singer, you're going to want to use her voice in that way. But look at Star Is Born. She's not singing every 5 seconds in that film. And when she does sing, it's incredibly effective. This movie just feels like it is completely uninspired. And I think the problem with Hollywood is, and I actually love sequels. I think some of the best movies of all time are sequels. I said this in the show before, Terminator 2, Empire Strikes Back, Aliens. You know, I love the Back to the Future sequels, Indiana Jones sequels, Lord of the Rings. There's some really great ones. But this feels like it was made strictly for a business decision. I mean, the first one made $1 billion. I don't think they had any intention of making a sequel. I think the ambiguous ending of the original was why it worked so well. This kind of just the plot for this film basically is that he's on trial for the events of the first movie. And the musical stuff of it, just, I don't think it works. The movie has really no, like, consistency to it. It feels like it's all over the place. The pacing is bad. It feels way too long, just like my segment right now to the audience.
EB, it doesn't sound like you're going to enjoy it this Sunday at 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. That sounds like you're going to be bored.
I'm going to meet him there.
Yeah, so, and hey, Jaden Daniels is going to meet us there, too, at 1 o'clock.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm excited about that. He's buying.
Buy three tickets, Kevin.
I'm all psyched.
I Googled it, by the way, and it says, now, this was the plans for the movie before. There's an article about how many musical renditions. And it says that the plan was to include a minimum of 15 renditions of very well-known songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of the songs are like, yeah, they mess around with like classic songs, doing them their own way. I mean, on a positive note, and this is not something that I know you guys particularly care about, but it's shot really well. And the music is really well done in terms of like the score.
You're right. Don't really care how well it's shot.
Yeah. So I think Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga are great. They have Brendan Gleeson's great. There's some great performances. It's a well-made movie that I just will never see again. Also, it's just depressing. Like when that movie ended, I wanted to take a shower so bad because I take, like, you know, I was just like, I was so like, it's like, not that the movie itself is dreadful, but there's so much dread in the film that it just makes you feel bad. There's really no glimmer in my mind. I didn't find anything hopeful about the story. It just felt like really, really down. And I don't know. I wanted something a little more ambiguous and nuanced. Like, not the first one was pretty brutal too, but there was at least this like question of whether or not things were happening.
All right. So what's your rating on this? Cause I want to bring up something else with you that I believe you've watched, or at least you interviewed Kristen Bell. What did you give Joker 2?
I'm going to go 2.5 out of 5. I just wasn't, I wasn't into it, and I really loved the first one, and this one just didn't. It just didn't hit for me, unfortunately. And I think I, you know, make up your own mind. But I feel like a lot of people are in the same boat. I wasn't feeling it, unfortunately.
So Kevin, I believe I watched you during one of our commercial breaks on Fox 5 a couple days, and I'm sure it was a taped interview, but you were interviewing Kristen Bell and Adam Brody. Is that correct?
Yes, for Nobody Wants This.
Yeah, I got to tell you, my wife and I started watching this a couple days. I love the show. It's kind of a Sex in the City type of vibe, I would say. I don't know if you've watched a show. What'd you make of your interview with Kristen Bell and Adam Brody?
Yeah, they were great. I've seen the first episode. I've seen the first two episodes. And for people who aren't familiar with the show, essentially Kristen Bell's character co-hosts like a love podcast with her sister about her love life. And she's just having trouble really kind of meeting the right guy. And then she meets a young rabbi played by Adam Brody. And they're both on very different perspectives of life. Like he is all about the kind of privacy of life. And she's all about talking about things on the podcast, and they kind of meet. And the episodes that I've seen, I like the supporting characters as well. Her sister and then the friends and things like that as well.
Her sister played Willa on Succession.
Correct.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. I mean,
it's a good show.
It's R-rated. It's a romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. It's something light. I mean, right now, you know, with Monsters being out and Joker, these really dark material. And I just think it is nice to have a little bit of a break from that. And that's why I think Nobody Wants This has become number one. And yeah, we had a great interview. They were fantastic. One of the things we really got into in our conversation was about the older names that kind of go out of style, because her name is Josephine. And I think he says something to her like as an old fashioned name.
Joanne.
And I thought it was Joanne. Sorry. And I find it interesting that like when a name goes out of style, like I was telling them, like my grandparents are Irving and Blanche. And you don't really get those names anymore.
Those are some out-of-style names. Sorry.
But when does a name go out of style? Like, it's an interesting thing. Like you know, we have the names that, you know, Eric and John Paul and John. Like, but there are names.
I would argue that Blanche was never in style.
But sometimes they come back. Like, sure. Emma is popular now.
True.
And Emma was your grandmother's name.
Correct.
But I think when we were growing up, Emma was not popular.
It wasn't a cool name. You're right.
Made a comeback. Yeah.
But do you see, I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, are kids named Kevin anymore? Are kids named, like, are kids named Eric? Like, I don't know. I don't really know. Like, when do, I don't know. I feel like now the names are, like, we're pulling names, as Adam
Eric.
Brody said, from our grandparents'
Eric.
Names.
I think
now.
You should
Maybe
do a study on it,
around.
Kevin. Do a study. Get back to us on it.
Well, Kevin, I'll say this. Joker 2, you give it a 2.5. It sucks. I think Nobody Wants This. It's, like, the perfect show if you watch any TV with your wife. It's a perfect like couple show, and looks like Cakes endorses it a well.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably a good option. Or also, Monsters is a huge hit right now. I'm
that's a depressing.
Pursuing.
That's the Menendez.
I know, but that is a big show right now, and everybody's talking.
Dude,
about
I was
it.
Reading that they're saying somebody that follows us says he thinks the Menendez brothers will be free by December.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. They've been in jail for 35 years.
Yeah, aren't they? Isn't LA or someone? Aren't they starting a new defense? Like I saw that today.
I think
yesterday.
So.
They're opening up an investigation. Again.
There's another documentary coming out on the 7th. I think that's the Menendez brothers' story told from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Netflix, look it up. I think it's on the 7th of October. They're releasing a documentary about the Menendez brothers from their perspective.
So, all right, Kevin. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, guys. Love you guys. Yep. I'll see you Sunday at 1, Eric. I can't wait.
Gotcha.
I'll be Kevin there. McCarthy, there, Fox 5,
Kevin
movie viewer. Yeah. He gives
Pop a squeeze.
Joker 2.
I like
two,
he doesn't
half.
Get off a joke. I like that.
JP.
He sticks with it. Yeah, he commits.
The unfunny joke.
He's been doing the Papa JP bit for 20 years, and Cake still laughs at it. Like it's the first
I'm a simpleton.
Time.
I can't help
so
myself.
Dumb.
Coming up next on a Football Friday, we'll dive into Commanders Browns. Who needs to shine more, the offense or the defense, to get the W?
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. or if you overcame.
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back on a Football Friday on the Fan. Commanders going for their, let's see, one, two, three, fourth win in a row, Cakes.
Four wins in a row would be
four
huge.
Wins in a row.
When's
they're
the last
3-1.
They won four in a row.
Atop the NFC East.
Just got to look at that.
And they take on a Cleveland Browns team that has been struggling. Their offense has really struggled. Now, we had an insider on the show yesterday or 2 days ago, and John Fanta, known for his college hoops insight, but he follows the Browns closely, and he said, well, the defense is good. And Brian Baldinger, Odyssey insider, came on the show and said the defense is good. So maybe it's going to be a challenge for Washington's offense. And we're kind of posing the question here, which side of the ball do you think really needs to step up to get the win? The offense has been rolling. The offense is not really punting the ball. Mm-hmm. Jaden has been on fire. The ball is barely hitting the ground ever. They're scoring a ton of points. Over 38 points or more in the last two games. First time since 1991. But the defense, at least, I know they didn't stop the run, but at least on the scoreboard, played better against Arizona. To get a win, what do you think needs to happen?
I think easily the defense is the unit that has to play better. Maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I'm expecting the offense to score at least 24 points.
To just be legit.
I know
you
that.
Put that $10 up?
I don't know. Maybe I will. But like, I just feel like this offense is just, they're just humming along. And I don't think they're going to come out and score 17 points, even though the Browns, you know, might be one of their bigger challenges defensively.
I think out of the last two, Cincinnati's defense, especially against the runs, not very good. Arizona's defense isn't very good. I think that Cleveland's going to be a challenge defensively.
They might be, but I feel like Jaden and the offense can impose their will on that defense. I don't think they're that scary.
By the way, it's not as far back as I thought it was. The last time Washington won four in a row, it looks like 2021. They beat Tampa, Carolina, Seattle, and Vegas. So it hasn't been.
Okay, so under Ron, they actually had a four-game heater.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be the first one to admit that I don't know anything about X's and O's specifically on defense. I mean, I know nothing about how you draw up good defense. But I watched Joe Witt's presser, and he brought up some good points as far as stopping the run. You want to play audio? Okay.
It's a holistic deal. You know, when you're stopping the run, you also have to look at, you know, who they have at their skill positions and who do you want to take away and when do you want to take them away? They can push the ball vertically. They have really good receivers with Judy and Coop out there. Had history with them. David's going to be back. He's a weapon that they haven't had. You know, so let's remember Cincinnati when we went into that one, they hadn't had all their guys. And then, you know, Higgins came back and they did whatever they did to us. And then the next game they did the same thing. So when you get those weapons, it changes the play caller's mindset. So they have David coming back, and he's gonna add a third element with those guys.
He's talking about Njoku, their tight end.
Yeah. Right.
So he's missed the last few weeks.
So what he pointed out, and he said, listen, we're working on it. Trust me, we're working on it, and we are going to get better at stopping the run. They're aware of, you know, that being a huge issue. He says there's like three runs that everyone's just doing against us that we will get figured out.
Right.
But he did make this point. He said, it's not just like everyone's just looking at the guys up front and the linebackers. He goes, if we could play better on the back end, then we don't have to have those extra guys on the back end. Right now, because everyone's so worried about our secondary, I got my safeties and, you know, helping out on the back end. If I get the back end straight, then I can get the help that we need up front to stop the run. So
right,
everything
he doesn't trust his
in.
Corners in one-on-one coverage.
Right, so that's
nor
what's hurting. That's what's hurting
right.
The run stopping is because they
got
to use an extra guy or two personnel-wise for the passing.
The guy that's really surprised me on this Browns offense is Jerry Jeudy. He leads them in yards right now, near 200. He's got 197. When I saw the deal they gave him in the offseason after they traded for him, he's not getting top of the market wide receiver money, but he's making good money. I want to say it's like $14 or $15 million a season. I was like, why are they giving Jerry Jeudy that sort of money? He's become a pretty effective weapon for Deshaun Watson.
I feel like he's a, like, you know, he's not an elite receiver, but I feel like he's a really good receiver.
He had some weird seasons in Denver. He was in injury plague while he was in Denver, so never really got going there. But, I mean, they've got a decent 1-2 punch in Jeudy and Cooper at wideout. And if Njoku comes back, that's
another
weapon.
Their weapons are better than Washington's.
Right.
On paper. I'm not saying the results, because the results clearly haven't been better.
I mean, the way Robinson's running, I kind of would take Robinson over Jerome Ford, but with the other guys, maybe you're right. But anybody can run against Washington.
Yeah, B-Rob,
it doesn't matter
who it is.
The
problem with B-Rob is he popped up on the injury report.
Yeah, he's got the knee. Is it a knee? It
worries me a little bit, especially with Eckler. I mean, we don't know 100% whether Eckler's playing yet
or not. Well, I think he was back 100% in practice yesterday.
Eckler?
I think so.
Okay, so
I think it was a full go.
Okay, well, that's encouraging.
So I think he's, you know,
Abraham would probably,
because I watched Quinn.
I mean, if he comes in without an injury tag, that's great news for the Commanders.
No, I think he's going to be good to go.
Fantastic.
I saw a report that Robinson wasn't playing, but it was from ML Football, so I knew it was shaky.
Yeah, we just don't know. But then that just means a bigger role for Eckler, and McNichols can step in if needed. And he showed he could do that last week.
Yeah, but they need B-Rob against this defense.
That would be nice.
800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Who do you think needs to step up? I mean, the offense has stepped up. I don't know that you brought it up, but we were talking about this during the break.
Yeah.
Pass blocking in week four, the 33rd team, which employs a bunch of ex-NFL coaches and you know, real legit guys who have great resumes, they have Washington last week with the number one pass blocking offensive line,
which is unbelievable.
Number one, no sacks allowed, and they take into account pressure rate, sack rate, and quarterback's time to throw.
Now that's just for that week.
For week four,
do they have a season long?
I don't know. I'd have to look. I'd have to go through their site. But that's
seen other analytics where pass blocking they've been top 10.
I'll look up on PFF, see what they.
I mean,
have.
I noticed it the last couple weeks. Sure, there are times when Jaden gets rid of the ball quickly, but there are other times where he's been back and he's patting the ball, looking around for what seems like 4 or 5 seconds, and then he decides to take off. You know what I mean? Like, he goes through it and then decides, let me just run. And it's not running because he's getting pressured immediately. It's running because it's been 3 or 4 seconds. So I think the offensive line, I brought that up on Monday, obviously the last couple weeks, Terry McLaurin's going to get shine, and Jaden Daniels is going to get shine. But the offensive line has been playing really well.
No, it's been playing great. There's no question about it.
I think the offense, certainly the defense has to play better. But they can't give up a bunch of yards. But I think the offense has to kind of keep doing what they're doing. Not necessarily to outscore other teams, but just to keep that Deshaun Watson and that offense off the field. Because, you know, the way the offense has been clicking, they got long drives and they're keeping the ball away from the other team's offense. I think that's key. I think the team has to keep clicking offensively.
Right.
They're not going to have to score 40 points to win this game.
No.
But if they can keep the ball rolling, keep the clock rolling, even if they're kicking field goals, if they're taking 8-9 minutes off the clock, I think that helps.
I think they're going to get after Deshaun Watson. He's already been sacked 19 times. Mm-hmm. We saw what they were confounding Kyler Murray last week. He didn't know what to do. He had one carry for 3 yards. Like, I don't know why he wasn't tucking it running, but the defense was confusing Kyler Murray last week. Hopefully you see more of that this week in Washington. Putting more pressure on
Deshaun
Watson.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Cleveland's offensive line situation is. I know their right tackle, Conklin, has been hurt. Willis, their left tackle, has been hurt.
Yep.
We'd have to check the injury report on that. Maybe the guy from Cleveland can fill us in, but they've had some issues on the line, no doubt.
The thing that concerns me is just that, like, it's unsustainable, the offensive production. Like,
you can't keep doing
you
that.
You can't keep going game after game with
not
no punts or one punt, scoring every possession. That's just not realistic. So when you're off a little bit, how are you gonna, you know, is your defense good enough to still keep you in the game? I'm not convinced that we are. That's the only scary part. Well, I think the offense is very good, but it's unsustainable.
The Browns have let bad offenses score 21 and 20 in the last 2 weeks against them.
Right, but
what's
going to
happen when they face a good offense?
Yeah.
They let the Raiders score 20 on them. They let the Giants score 21 on them.
Right.
And I would put the Commanders offense in a different class than both of those offenses, at least through the first month.
And that was a Raider game, but Adams didn't play. Correct?
I believe he was out.
Devontae.
That was the most recent game. Yes, he was out.
Yeah. And they scored 20, you said?
The Raiders scored 20. Yeah. Giants scored 21.
All right, 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Who needs to step up more? I mean, I don't know how you can ask the offense to step up more.
Yeah, I mean, are you worried about Myles Garrett?
Yeah. He's like the only guy I'm worried about, to be honest with you.
Coleman, I believe, didn't allow one pressure last week. The rookie.
Well, yeah, now he's going against the real deal.
He's still sharing time with Cornelius Lucas, right?
Yep.
What, about 50% of the snaps? Something like that?
It's basically a 50-50 split.
Right.
Hey, it's working. It's clearly working, what they're doing.
Yeah. The good news is they appear to have cleaned up a lot of the penalty issues. That has to continue. They're doing great on third down. I think they're perfect on the season on fourth down, right? I
think so. 5 for 5, maybe?
Just can't let Deshaun Watson all of a sudden,
turn into the time machine,
mm-hmm. and all of a sudden start being the guy from like 3 years ago.
I mean, if he comes in here and air raids this defense to the tune of 280 to 300 yards, then that's concerning going forward.
All right. Let's bang out a few of these calls. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Play that music again, Cakes. I mean, here we are. 3-1. The opportunity to go 4-1. I don't want to look past these guys, but if we can knock them off, what a game against the Ravens.
Now, Deshaun played him last year. Only completed 9 of 18 passes, but he had 3 touchdowns without a pick.
Mm. Let's go to Mo.
He was sacked 5 times last year by the Commanders.
Mo, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep. What's up?
I think the D tackles need to step up. I think they need to consistent pressure right up the middle. If we can keep the ends, keeping their lanes up straight up field, it'll be a long day for him. But, I mean, if they can really wreck this game, not to mention, you know, help stop the run as well. But if we can get consistent pressure right in his face, I like our chances Sunday. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Mark.
All right, thank you.
Here, this could be a huge problem for the Browns. They've struggled with missed tackles. They're allowing 2.24 yards after contact per designed rush, the worst mark in the NFL. They allowed the Raiders, who hadn't topped 71 rushing yards all season, to go for 152 on the ground last week.
Wasn't that the big thing about, weren't they talking about that with Brian? That like B-Rob, that his after contact yardage was like what, like 4 yards a pop?
It's absurd.
Something crazy.
So that looks like an Achilles heel for the Browns.
But we need B-Rob to be up and ready to go.
I mean, that works for McNichols, it works for Jaden Daniels, it works for Eckler. Anybody that's rushing the ball has had success against the Browns.
All right, let's go to...
Similar to running backs against Washington.
That's true.
Let's go to B in D.C. B, what's up? I feel like our tackling has improved a little bit, to be honest with you. B, what's up?
Hey, man, it's B from Northeast.
What's up,
I'm
going
to piggyback off what the last guy said, man. I saw De'Ron Payne get a little more active last week. If they can thrust that middle, man. The Cleveland O-line is not hyped up to be anything. If De'Ron Payne and Jonathan Allen can get hyped up for Sunday and keep pressure in his face, man, Deshaun Watson ain't got nothing coming. I mean, his percentage, his pass completion percentage last week was terrible. It was terrible. Yeah, they did put points on the board. But, I mean, any offense can do that. But with his percentage being that bad, if we can keep points off the board, that would be amazing for us, man. We can basically, with our run game, slow stroke them the whole game. And like you said, man, Brian Robinson, after contact run yards is diabolical.
If you
don't get him down with the first point of contact, you pretty much a baked bird. So if he keep on doing what he's been doing, man, and Jaden Daniels keep up this completion percentage, man. Yeah, I mean, their defense is something to worry about. Just how Tampa Bay's was week one, even though we didn't open up the offensive playbook that much. But if Jaden Daniels can get the ball out quick, keep the O-line on their feet, on their toes, keep them moving with the play calling with Cliff, man, it's going to be a good weekend, man. At the end of the day, if we can – we're putting up 40 points the last two games. Man, if you can do that against the Browns, you got you a solid win. And you can really, B-Rob can really tote the rock all day and let Eckler rest up for the Ravens next week, if you want to be honest.
If they can get to 40, this town is going to be on fire.
Well, if they give them the beatdown, which I feel like they should if we're legit, then we are.
I just have a hard time seeing Deshaun Watson, who's struggled mightily, out-dueling Jaden Daniels. He's averaging 4.9 yards per attempt. Yeah. You know how pathetic that is? The only people he's ahead of in that rank are Bo Pix and Bryce Young. He's already been
all right, but maybe playing against the worst defense, those numbers are going to go up.
Maybe he'll get a bomb, you know what else is unsustainable? Is completing 80% of your passes.
Yes.
Well, certainly.
That's unsustainable. You know, what are we going to do when he only completes 65%?
I mean, 65% isn't bad. What if he dips down to 68% or 70%? You'll take that.
So Deshaun didn't face the Commanders last year. It was actually two seasons ago.
It was 22,
He beat Carson Wentz in that head-to-head matchup. The thing about Deshaun Watson, didn't he used to run a lot more?
Yes.
Looking at 117 yards in four games.
He used to run more, and people are saying like he's got a shoulder thing. His arm's not the same. Yeah, he had a major arm talent that he had.
The guy had a major, he's a different player. He had a major shoulder injury. And of course, everything that happened off the field, he's just a different person/player.
Another nugget about
can't compare him to what he was in Houston.
The offensive line, this is from Pro Football Network. They've ranked all the O-lines coming into week 5. They have the Commanders at number 12 overall in the league, which is great considering what we thought of them in the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
Their offensive line ranks number 1 in run block win rate through 4 weeks.
I believe it.
So they're really good at protecting Jaden, and they're winning in run blocking. That's A-plus grades.
Remember
for
their O-line
the
coach is?
There.
He's balling. Did I hear that?
Who is their O-line coach? Why am I sleeping on his name? I have to look it up.
Simmons or Johnson?
Well, that guy deserves a merit raise.
Well, just think of the quarterback sweep for a touchdown for Jaden this week. It was perfect blocking. He's fast, but he didn't get touched. He just kind of glided into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Great blocking. 800-636-1067. Talking about Commanders Browns, we will throughout the show. We'll get the Browns perspective from Daryl Reuter. Covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. He'll join us coming up at 8:25. But next, we'll try and hit it big with the touchdown parlay here on the Junkies. We're talking about the Commanders Browns game, our Scotty's Vodka poll of the day. Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. Who wins on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
You can vote at Junks Radio on X. So far, 80% say Washington. Mm. We're going to get the Cleveland perspective coming up at 8:25 from Daryl Reuter, who covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. So we'll get some insight from him. But each week we do a touchdown parlay. We almost hit it last week, hit 4 out of 5 legs. We did hit it in week 1.
Who missed, by the way?
The boys behind the glass.
Oh, okay. They're still going to be in it, right?
Oh, they're in.
Okay.
Good. They're so in.
All right. All right, good.
They're in the mix.
Or it might have even been 5 out of 6. I don't know. Right. We just didn't hit 2-2 Atwell.
Okay.
So let's spin the wheel.
Oh, look, it landed on Mr. Cakes.
Oh, I get to lead off. Do you guys actually think that in a revenge game against the Buffalo Bills, that Stephon Diggs is not going to score a touchdown?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody think that?
Yes, I do.
You think he's not going to find the end zone?
He's not going to score.
Why would you think that?
Because Buffalo is going to shut him down.
They're going to
shut
down.
And he doesn't score every week.
They're going to shut down Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs doesn't score every week.
No, but he scored twice. No Tank Dell. So that means more targets go to both Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs.
It's going
to
be a lot more to Nico.
That's true. But Stephon Diggs runs the shorter routes now out of the slot. When they're down in the red zone, they're going to look at Stephon Diggs, and he will score a touchdown against his second former team.
You know he's going to be
the Buffalo Bills.
Super motivated.
So that is the first leg of our parlay.
What is that?
Stephon Diggs, he's at plus 165.
Oh.
Tasty price, too.
Right.
Plus 165 for Diggs to get in the end zone.
All right, that's good. +165.
I was just trying to make a side bet with you.
I would make out with that pick. I would heavy pet with that pick.
You would?
Yeah.
Like you used to in the theater?
Yeah. That's very graphic. I would do that with that pick.
Yeah.
Used to get me sized,
too. What was the movie?
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing.
It's been well chronicled and documented over the years.
Forgotten about that already?
Yes.
I just can't remember.
Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. There were dirty dancing. Things happening.
Yeah.
And I think Stephon Diggs is going to do dirty things to that Buffalo Bills secondary.
But not dirty enough for you.
Yeah. It's probably such a gross phrase, heavy petting.
I know it's gross. That's why I threw it out there.
Yeah.
It affects people.
All right, play the spin the thing, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Dirty Dancing filmed where?
West Virginia.
I have no idea where it's filmed.
Blacksburg, Virginia. Oh,
it was? Okay. I had no clue.
Yes.
I had no file
Mountain
on
Lake
that.
Lodge. I've stayed there before.
Very good.
Who did it land on? Let me see. Behind the Glass. Ooh. Matt Myers, Matt Cahill, Mike
Moore.
All right,
we put our heads together, and everyone behind the glass loves this play.
Okay. Uh-oh. All right.
We're going to take Xavier Worthy anytime touchdown reception or rush.
Okay.
Plus 165.
Yep.
Rice is going to the IR. Mm-hmm. They don't really trust their running game. Kelce is just a ghost out there. So I think Worthy is Mahomes' best threat on the offensive side of the ball.
Yep. Big splash play guy.
Splash play guy. Could be a shootout. Pew, pew, pew against the Saints.
Pew, explosives. Pew, pew,
So we like Xavier Worthy anytime touchdown plus 165.
All right.
It's had one last week, right?
Xavier Worthy, yes, he had a long one.
Last week.
I think it was the longest air yard touchdown of Patrick Mahomes' career to Xavier Worthy.
I thought Kelce was over the hump last week. No?
He showed some life last week.
He had like 7 or 8 catches, maybe 9.
Yeah.
He didn't score, but he's
still
yeah.
poopy.
Okay. All right.
All that Alfredo and the private jet.
And the Coke Classics.
Yes.
Delicious.
What's that number?
Plus 165. This one's going to pay out nice if it hits.
John Paul, Flamac.
I'm not at plus 165. I'm going to stick to my formula. It's worked a couple times this season where I've gone against
Washington
secondary. It did work last week.
It did? Oh, that's right. You took Harris.
I took Marvin Harrison Jr.
That's right.
That happened early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. So this week, look, Cakes just made a case for Jerry Jeudy. He's been their number one receiver, but I think Amari Cooper is actually a better overall receiver. He's off to a very slow start this year. But he had 2 touchdown catches against the Giants a couple weeks ago. I think Amari Cooper finds the end zone.
Getting a good price, too. Plus 220.
Mm. Oh, this is going to be a big payout.
Yeah, it is.
All pluses.
Yes.
All right. I'll go next.
All right.
Mr. Matt Myers. Hey, Mr. Matt Myers. I don't know how you feel about the game against the Bengals, but Ja'Marr Chase has played the Ravens 7 times, and he scored in 4 of the 7. Now, and then if you look at the numbers statistically, the Ravens are one of the worst pass defenses in the league. Now, last week, they were really good against Buffalo, destroyed them. The week before against Dallas, they won the game, but I think Dallas put up a bunch of yards, Dak Prescott. I'd have to look at the numbers. But so last week, maybe they shored some things up, but they're going to face Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase this weekend. And I think Ja'Marr Chase catches a touchdown against the Ravens secondary.
He is at plus 120, and he is now officially in the parlay. Yep. I'm looking at 4 legs right now. We need the 5th.
All right, so that leaves me, right?
It
leaves
does.
Your boy. Well, you know me. I'm going to pick somebody from this Commanders-Browns game.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I pick somebody from the Browns? They're averaging like 16 points per game.
Why would you do that? No, JP's already in with Amari Cooper scoring for the Browns.
Well, they're going to score 28 points?
Let's hope not.
No. So I'm going to, you know what? I'm just going to ride the hot hand, Cakes. He's too explosive, and he hasn't had that big one yet.
Yep.
That might be this week. And if he doesn't get a big one, I think he'll get one inside the 5-yard line, inside the 10-yard line. I'm going to take Jaden Daniels to score anytime touchdown plus 120.
Plus 120?
He is at plus 120. Yes.
Yep.
That is correct.
All right. This is going to be a biggie.
It is.
$10 bet.
Let's recap here. We've got Amari Cooper, anytime touchdown score. Jaden Daniels in the same game also. Ja'Marr Chase at plus 120. Stephon Diggs, I mean, that's a lock. He's finding the end zone at plus 165. Xavier Worthy also at plus 165. A $10 wager before the profit boost, which we know is coming at some point, pays $987.66.
How does the profit boost work again?
50% profit boost.
Wow.
Just apply it on Sunday. Put the bet in, cross your fingers, and hope everybody hits.
Nice. All right, good.
Then we get paid.
That'll be like around $13.50.
Yeah, it would be a sizable bet.
I'll take it.
A sizable payout.
I can use it for my pull cart I got to buy.
Yes, you could. You could put it right towards
all
that.
All the ones you sent me, none of them had a stool. I need a stool. Got to have a stool.
That's a must.
Oh, it's a must.
It's non-negotiable.
It's come with stool softener, yeah. Too.
I don't need that.
Not yet. You don't need it yet.
I might need stool hardener. Yeah. Lately.
You need stool reducer. What you need. They sell that. I don't know if that's sold in CVS.
All right, we got Daryl Reuter covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan. He'll join us at 8:25. We'll get the Browns' perspective on this big matchup on a football Friday. But John Feinstein is next here on the Junkies.